Jesus Christ. Glory to you, Lord and God, Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there." And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this, and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought that he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews were with her in the house comforting her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her weeping, became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and the stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This reading here today presented by the church from John's Gospel shows Jesus as true man and true God, fully God and fully human. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, he raised from the dead a girl who was 12 years of age in Mark chapter 5. He raised the widow son of Nain, Luke 7. But here, when he raises Lazarus, he does something that's a little different. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. They say, "Lord, don't even open the tomb. What are you talking about? It's going to be a stench. It's been 4 days. He's wrapped in all the burial cloths and everything. Open the tomb." And our Lord raises him from the dead. "Come out." But also, so that shows his divinity, right? His great power, his absolute power over death. But we see his humanity, the human heart of God here in the Gospel. It says, "And Jesus wept." He wept with pain of losing a loved one. He felt compassion, empathy with Martha and Mary and those other loved ones of Lazarus. And so we see God fully human and he's fully divine. Now, in this Gospel, how did Lazarus come to be resurrected here? Well, Martha and Mary sent word to him, right? So when we send petitions to our Lord, St. Paul says he lives to make intercession for us. They bring it to the Lord, so the Lord takes that. And then he comes there, but before he does his miracle, he wants them to believe, Martha and Mary. He asks Martha specifically. He says, "I am the resurrection and life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And anytime our Lord Jesus Christ asks a question in the Scriptures, that's a question that we can apply to our own life. Not just to Martha and Mary, whoever he asked the question in Scripture, but he's also asking it to us. Do you believe? I think most will say, "Yes, I do believe in the resurrection. I do believe at the very end that we're all going to be resurrected." Now that's a great miracle. But you know, something hits more to home. Do you believe that God can resurrect you, free you from the bondage of sin that enslaves you? Maybe anxieties or worries, gambling or drinking or sexual sins, whatever it may be. People are held in bondage like in a tomb. Do you believe? Christ says, do you believe that I could free you? Do you believe? He wants us to first make that act of faith. Now, what if we can't do it ourselves? Because Lazarus is not doing it, right? He's dead, right? But Martha and Mary do that in his behalf. They call the Lord. They intercede. "Lord, please, we need your help here. Lord, we need it. And Lord, we do believe. We do believe." They make that. So parents, if you have a child that seems like they're dead in the tomb, they haven't seen the inside of a church for 20 years or since their marriage, don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. God is all powerful. If you could raise someone who's dead 4 days in the tomb, we could do something like that. But we have to have that statement, that conviction of heart, "Lord, I do believe." Now, do you believe that God could heal the brokenness in your life? Do you believe that he could heal the wounds in your life? We have to say, "Yes, Lord, I believe you can do that." We have to humbly give those to him. When I read this Gospel, the main thing that hits me as a priest is someone that's been away from the sacraments for years and years and years. Humanly speaking, I think, wow, there's no hope for their salvation. How many people have been praying for them? How many times God has knocked on the door of their heart? They refuse to answer. But this Gospel, me as a priest, and hearing confessions and experiencing this, especially different Marian pilgrimages I've gone in Medjugorje, people have been waiting for confession 28, 35 years. And I'm amazed of God's power, how he could work through all that gook and blackness and doors have been closed in his face through the years, where he could still come in and resurrect the person, bring them back to life. And you know, the confessional, when a person comes out, that's a resurrection. coming out a new life. Their baptismal robe has been cleansed, it's been renewed, come out in a state of sanctifying grace. Now, in St. Faustina's Diary of Divine Mercy, there's this beautiful, and you know the diary is made up of six notebooks, right? Six notebooks. And the fifth notebook, there's different conversations with our Lord with different souls, okay? And these are the words of our Lord. And it's called Conversations of the Merciful God with a Sinful Soul. And all of us are sinners, right? Some bigger degree, some lesser degree. And this is what our Lord says. Be not afraid of your Savior, O sinful soul. As I'm reading this, sort of picture this. Picture someone that's inside their room and the door is shut. But the door is thin enough where you could hear a voice from the outside. And you have Jesus on the outside who wanted to get in. So he like knocks and he says, be not afraid of your Savior, O sinful soul. My child, do you fear the God of mercy? Our Lord says, my mercy is greater than your sins and those of the entire world. Many times people keep themselves close off from Christ because they really don't believe in God's mercy. They really don't believe in God's love for them. They don't believe that God is all-powerful, that he could forgive all of their sins. Really and truly. Something I've mentioned here before, but as a priest, and it's pretty consistent. People have been away for a number of years. They usually think like the church is going to collapse on them or something, or God's not going to recognize them when they come to church. And that's all from the devil, right? My mercy is greater than your sins and those of the entire world. Who, this is the Lord speaking. Who can measure the extent of my goodness? For you, I descended from heaven to earth. For you, I allowed myself to be nailed to the cross. For you, I let my sacred heart be pierced with a lance, thus opening wide the source of mercy for you. Come then. Our Lord's like in the outside of the door speaking. Come then with trust to draw graces from this fountain. I never reject a contrite heart. Your misery has disappeared in the depths of my mercy. Do not argue with me about your wretchedness. Lord, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. Well, the Lord already knows that. He said, don't argue with me about your wretchedness. You will give me pleasure if you hand over to me all of your troubles, all of your griefs, all that holds us in bondage, all the fear that keeps us from moving forward, all the fear that keeps us from going deeper, the fear that of that total self-surrender. I shall heap upon you the treasure of my grace. Child, speak no more of your misery. And then once the soul opens the door, comes, our Lord says, it is already forgotten, your misery. Those are beautiful words. Now, yesterday, we had our 7th, 8th grade, 8th graders were here for a confirmation retreat. And I had some friends, some of you heard them Friday night speak, Bob and Tracy Matthews. And I was talking to them. I went to grade school, Catholic grade school, and Catholic high school with them. So we had a lot of mutual friends. We played sports and things like that. And we were talking about different mutual friends we had. And it's amazing how many have stopped practicing the faith. These are my friends, about 40 years of age, grade school and high school. It's amazing. It's amazing how they just fall through the wayside. We have a precious gift of the faith. We really do. And we have to hold on to it and embrace it. So even these different friends he had mentioned that are away, I'm picturing they're like Lazarus, they're in the tomb. So I'm hoping maybe their wives, some of my friends that are praying for them, maybe their parents and things like that. But I know there's always hope. There's always hope. So if you know anyone, and I'm sure you all do, we all do, that's a way. Tell them not to be afraid. So you know what? Jesus took Lazarus dead for 4 days. It says it right here in the Bible. 4 days. And he raised him up, restored him to life. If he could do that for some a dead man, don't you think he could do that for your soul? Resurrect it? Bring life and grace and peace back to it? You know? So you bring that. God wants to use you and I as his instruments of grace. Now, Martha and Mary sent that notice to the Lord. So sister sent word to Jesus. So our Lord wants us to do that every day. He wants us to send word to him. Lord, this person, that person, this person. And never get discouraged. You keep praying. Then with us right here, how he's dead, our Lord says this, I'm glad for this. What the heck are you glad for that, Lord? So that you may see the power of God, that I may be glorified, you may realize I'm the Christ. So any difficulties or pains or suffering someone's going through, if it's turned over to Christ, it's a wonderful, wonderful miracle where he could show his power there that he really, truly loves him. So when we receive communion today, let's pray for souls that we know that are really in bondage to whatever it may be, whatever sin, that they may be set free and be resurrected. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.